today we're talking about the flood. Last week we talked about creation. Today we're talking about the flood and the significance of it, because in 2 Peter chapter 3, they were arguing, so everything's been the same since the fathers, and what's different? Nothing's changed. And everybody talks about the return of... Everyone talks about the return of Christ and how near it is. And I'm just going to tell you guys, I don't know if you know, but today there was another airstrike where Israel hit Iran. And so that happened this morning about, I don't know, I think 6 hours ago, 7 hours ago, they hit some of their sites, some of their controlling sites where they can set off their rockets and so on and so forth. And guys, as we're watching, and I don't know if you're paying attention, but you know, what's going on in America is just giving you a temperature, if you will, of what's going on in the world. But if you really want to understand the world in the end times, you have to pay attention to Israel. Jerusalem specifically, is the capital of the world. And so the scriptures are written based off of Israel. Everything is Jerusalem. The center is Jerusalem. Israel is the Mecca, if you will. And so all of scripture is not an American Bible. It's for Americans. Amen. It is not a Bible written based on the whole world. It's a Bible that is written to the whole world. And so we have to understand, and when we read it, if we're not careful, we look at it and we go, well, that doesn't make sense for America. Well, look at it compared to Israel, not America. And then how do we apply it? And we apply the basic truths of the Word of God, especially in the New Testament. That's why we go with the New Testament, because we're a New Testament church, meaning that from Christ on, in the book of Acts was the beginning of the church, which is us. And that's why we focus on that. How should we live? What does God expect from us? So on and so forth. We use the Old Testament to learn from. Jesus quoted the Old Testament. The apostles quoted the Old Testament. And so we don't throw that out. We've talked about that before. We don't throw out the Old Testament. We look at it and learn from the Old Testament. We connect the dots in the New Testament from the Old Testament. And so it's critical that we do that. Well, here in 2 Peter chapter 3, he's like, hey, listen, you have forgotten. And then he takes them back to creation, which we've talked about, and he takes them back to the flood. And guys, I'm going to tell you, the flood is crucial to understand, because God said, listen, I'm going to wipe out the entire world with water. I'm going to kill everything and everyone. Well, why would God want to kill all things that exist on the earth except for the animals he put on the ark and 8 people? Why would he want to do that? And the reality is, as we get into this, because their mind was set on evil, their heart, not their mind, forgive me, their heart was set on evil continually. And guys, where are we at today? Humanity as a whole, their heart is set on evil continually. The moral compass that they have is self. It's not God. And when you have a moral compass based on your feelings and your emotions and your desires, you will quickly derail and go left, and it's going to be horrible. And so God's like, I gotta. We're going to start this all over again. And we're going to look at some scripture where it says that God was sorry he created man, or repented that he made man, depending on what version of the Bible you have. And then we look at that and we're like, what, God repented, or he was sorry? Like God didn't know what he was doing and all this came as a surprise? And so people twist that word up. And we're going to look into all of that, because that was a passage that kind of rattled me for a little bit, where it's like, God repented that he made man, or he was sorry that he made man. And it's like, did God make a mistake that he went, what did I do? You know, amen. How many have thought about that verse, or am I the only one? How many don't want to even want to get involved this morning? You just want to sit and listen. All right, there we go. But as we look at this, guys, this is what we're going to talk about. So I titled this one, The Significance of the Flood, because it is incredibly significant in the fact that it wiped out all the earth except for eight and the animals. And it was like this great reset, if you will, where God was like, okay, start again. And it's like, God, if you knew you had to start again, why didn't you stop it? Right? How many think like God, why didn't you just jump in there and stop all the crazy? Amen. How many think that? Yeah, right. I'm like, God, but like Lord, you have the power to do everything and anything, and you chose to let it get this bad, and God's like, that's free will. That's free will. God, I don't want free will. Take it away. Put your hand on my head and just guide me as I go. And I'm a happy camper. Amen. How many would like that? Yes. I'm like, Lord, just guide me. And that way I don't trip. I don't fall. And if I do start to trip, fall, or think a little brutish, just squeeze my head really good and go, no. And then start over, right? I mean, how many want to do that to their child? Right? It's like, no. All right. And I think the world would be really good. But if God took control over that, then we wouldn't have free will. And God allows free will so that we will decide to love him, and we will decide to follow him, and we will decide for him. So that's that true relationship. In order to have a true relationship, you can't have control or manipulation over the other. Amen. That's why God allows the crazy. And not that he wants it, but that if we're going to have free will or the free will to exercise free will, he's got to let us be brutish. And that's unfortunate. Amen. Because boy, we can get pretty brutish. And so anyway, here we go. All right. So the significance of the flood. We're going to start, and I'm going to roll through some stuff pretty quick because I want to jump into Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. And you're like, Pastor, you really going to cover all three chapters? I didn't say I was. I said we're going to jump into it. Now, how far we swim, I don't know, but we're going to get into it. Amen. Get the flood to swim. Never mind. You guys, some of you will be on the way home. You'll be like, oh, I got it. All right. So we see in Genesis 1, 6 through 9, and Proverbs 8, 27 through 29, and don't have to worry about bringing them up. I'm just kind of covering. Did I have that? That's good. I didn't think I did. All right. So we had an electronic issue this morning, and I had to run over, sit down at a table, and redo the whole PowerPoint and send it because we couldn't find. And so at any rate, we got to figure out who has what, because that was in a rush. But anyway, here we go. So God shapes the earth between two water masses, if you will. We would read that in Genesis 1, 6 through 9, where it says that there was water above and water below. And you guys remember, I was talking several weeks ago about the canopy, and the canopy that God put up was a canopy of water. And then that's why people lived so long, because the sun would shine through the water, which would give us light, but it didn't give us the radiation. And so people would live longer because the sun didn't take away life, right? And hold on, I'm not there yet. But yeah, I'm not there yet. But it's okay. Just go back to the headline. There you go. Dude, if you jump ahead of me this morning, you're gonna twist my brain because I'm holding on by a thread. I'm just saying. So here we go. So at any rate, we see in Genesis 1, 6 through 9, we have two water masses, one above, one below. And so when God says there's going to be a flood, because remember, at the time, Nobody had ever seen rain before. So when God says it's going to rain on the earth and he tells Noah to build an ark, can you imagine what they're looking at Noah like? This dude's off his rocker. It's never rained, and we're gonna get flooded. And it's like, come on, Noah, you're not thinking too right. And so I can only imagine what's going on in their brain, because Noah has got to do something that just even for him is by faith, where God says, okay, build an ark. Which, by the way, and this is controversial, and I've never said anything controversial. Never. I think, okay, how many of you've seen pictures of Noah's Ark in Kentucky? All right, and then you see pictures of Noah's Ark everywhere, right? I think Noah's Ark was simply a box, a rectangle box. I don't think it was shaped into a ship, because all this thing had to do was float. An ark literally means chest or box. And so I think that God said, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build it this shape, this size, this long, this wide, this tall, and this is what I want you to put on it, and so on and so forth. And so God gives him everything. But I think it was just simply a box that had to float. That would fit with the definition of ark. And it also would make it a ton easier than to try to build something that, because, you know, a boat is designed to be guided through the water. An ark is just designed to float. And God is the one that led and directed the ark. Noah had nothing to do with where it was going. He just had to get on it. Amen. And so in my view, and look, I could be completely wrong and you might not like my idea, but I think it was just a big old ugly rectangle that floated. That's what I think it was. And so God tells him to build it because the waters are coming. And when the waters get here, you're going to need to float. And here's the other thing. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Hold on. Okay. So as Adam and Eve lived, you can go to that slide. As Adam and Eve lived on the pre-flood world, we had the canopy that I was talking about. And this is what allowed people to live so long, because there was no harm from the sun then, and therefore it didn't shorten their years. And I'm just going to tell you, you ever see someone that lays out in the sun every year as long as they can? You go down to Florida, man, and these men and women just look like rawhide. You know, tan, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? You look at him, you're like, daggum, honey, you might want to get out of the sun for a little while. They didn't have this. They didn't have this because the radiation and the heat of the sun wasn't hitting them like it hits us today. And so they live much longer. Genesis 5:5, I think you have that one. It says, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know that I could manage 930 years, right? I mean, am I the only one? I look back and I'm thinking of how old these guys were, except for you would think, well, it had to be so much better. And so when they lived that long, it wasn't as bad as today. But the problem is in Genesis 5:5, we see that Adam lived 930 years. And then we get to Genesis 6, and we see the beginning of the end. Genesis chapter 7 is the description of the flood. Genesis chapter 8 is Noah on the ark and what was going on there. And then at the end of Genesis chapter 8, the ark lands. And so when we see this, guys, in 5, he lives, we hear how long he lives. And 6, 7, and 8 is that quickly is the beginning of the end of creation as anyone knew it. That's how quickly things go downhill. And so, of course, they have this ideal environment. Everything is good. And then the world quickly goes downhill. It just goes really, really bad. Genesis chapter 6 is where I'm going to go on this. And so if you have your Bibles, open to Genesis chapter 6. Guys, if you want to pull it up, we're going to go 6, 7, and 8. We're going to cover 3 chapters. and you may or may not be able to keep up with me on it, but you can attempt it. So if you want to put Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, because guys, this is the beginning of the end for creation as we know it. It says in 6:1, Genesis. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. And so this men were multiplying on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. This is humanity having children, okay? You get this. And then it says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And when we look at this, guys, and I know some people want to argue this or debate this, but I'm telling you, everything points right back to this piece right here. The sons of God, those were the fallen angels, saw the daughters of men, those were humanity, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, all whom they chose. And so you're like, what? Angels married women? According to this, that's exactly what happened. Fallen angels married women, earthly women. And what happened was Satan was trying to infiltrate. And when Satan's trying to infiltrate, if he can stop or corrupt all of humanity, then Jesus can't be born. That's crazy, you would think, right? Look here, move on down. Next one. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And you're like, wait a minute, we just read he was 900. No, the days left. The day from this point of corruption where fallen angels had relations with women and had offspring that weren't completely human. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you, when I look back at this and I've been researching it, I'm actually getting ready to do a podcast next week on that, or actually this week, because this is the beginning of the week. Where Jesus said in the end days, it'd be like the days of Noah and like Sodom and Gomorrah. And when I saw, you know, days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm like, okay, so in Sodom and Gomorrah, their hearts were fixed on evil continually. In the days of Noah, their hearts were fixed on evil continually. And why didn't God just use days of Noah? We clearly would have understood their hearts were fixed on days and or on evil continually. And Sodom and Gomorrah as well. And in my brain, I'm going, why does God use both? Like, there has to be a significant difference between days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah is where their hearts were fixed on the same sex, right? And the LGBTQ, the gay, and all that lusting men for men and women for women. And God says, I'll have none of it. And he destroys them because of that. And people try to argue and go, no, that's not why he did it. No, that is why he did it. Let's not soften the word of God. God said, I won't tolerate it. I'm done with it. And because of your desire to satisfy the lust of the flesh, you have exceeded that. And what does it mean, exceeded that? Anybody that would come into Sodom and Gomorrah, they would, the men of the town would take them and rape them. And so it would be, and it would be the whole town of men. It could be 100 men. And if there was a man that came into town from out of town, a stranger, the 100 men would take that one man. And we know that because the whole town of men, young and old, came together to get the angels that visited Lot. You remember reading that? And the whole town, the whole city wanted those two men. So how corrupt are they? And they were going to, they would physically abuse them to the point of death. And I know we don't like to hear that, but that's what happened. And so God's like, hey, listen, it's going to, in the end days, Sodom and Gomorrah, the same sex attraction and the violence that comes from that is going to erupt in the end days, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's going to be ugly. Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32 explains that, lays it all out and tells how corrupt they will be. And if you look, the transgender and the gay agenda gets violent when it doesn't get its own way. Have you noticed that? And if you read the scriptures, Jesus says, or the Bible says, that's what's going to happen. And daggum, we're seeing it happen. And so we know Sodom and Gomorrah. But then we get to this, and Jesus says, as in the days of Noah. And I'm going to tell you what I think I finally figured out it is. Because you guys don't realize, I can't stand up, sit down, lay down, that my brain is not constantly running over scriptures and trying to figure this stuff out. Not because I have to figure it out, but just because it intrigues me so much. Amen. How many do you're intrigued by some of the things that I've said or the questions I've asked? Yeah. And so now you get the answer. You're welcome. And so here we go. So what it is, In here in 6:3-4 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. The 120 years is 120 years left, because that's what's going to take Noah to build the ark. And it says, there were giants on the earth in those days. By the way, this is just a little extra. You can do whatever you want with it. I think the giants are the ones that built the pyramid. Because if men like us can grab two blocks and carry them, cement blocks or whatever, and we can stack them and we got no problem. Listen, if you're 20, 30 feet tall, you can grab big stones and stack them. Amen. And I think it's giants in the land that built the pyramids, because they can't figure out how they were built so perfect and they're within an eighth of an inch of perfect. An eighth of an inch of perfect of where they're built. It's so amazing and intriguing. Like, if you read about it, and I know the world's going to give you all kinds of their theories, but if you read about the perfection of where they're placed and how spot on they are, it is amazing. Like, we couldn't even do that today with all of our engineering. And so I think it was the giants that did it, and they placed them so perfect. And pyramids are a symbol of what? Like, we see pyramids on a dollar bill, where it's that, and it's got the eye in the top, the all-seeing eye on our dollar bill, because our government's corrupt and Satan is in charge of it. And I can't get into all that. Okay, here we go. So there are giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And so remember when Joshua or Moses, Joshua sends the men into Canaan, they go in to spy out the land of Canaan, they come back and they're like, we're like grasshoppers to them. That's because they're giants, literal giants. Listen, they have drawings in caves where, and they have found 18 to 24 foot beds. The History Channel did this thing on giants and compared it with the scripture. It was funny, as you can't find it anymore. Like, that documentary they did is gone. Why? Because it proves the Bible true. And somewhere along the line, they were like, oh, get rid of it. Because I watched it one time and I should have saved it and I didn't. Like, I should have, anyway. And so here we have transhumanism. I'm getting to my point of why I bring this up. Transhumanism. Half fallen angel, half human. Angels are all male. There are no female angels. So if you see pictures of an angel with long flowing hair and a beautiful, no, that's man's idea, not Bible. All angels are male. And crazier yet, they can reproduce, not with each other, but with humans. And you're like, no way, Pastor, you're in a sci-fi movie. Welcome to the Bible. I'm telling you the truth, guys. I'm telling you absolute truth. Like, I would not stand up here and lie to you, not one iota, not one bit. I'm telling you this, and I know sometimes it's like, this is hard to take in. Welcome to my world. And so here's what we have, right? Because we have fallen angels having taking daughters of men, women, to and marrying them and having offspring that is giants. And so when they come back and say, we're like grasshoppers to them, we can't do it. Literally, they're like grasshoppers to them. These guys were so tall, so huge, that they literally terrified the Israelites. transhumanism, the days of Noah. Do you know what we have today? We have, and no offense, guys, but we have vaccines that are changing your DNA. We have Elon Musk, who says, I can put, 10 years ago, he says, I can put computers in man's brain, and they'll be half computer, half man. And he said this, all I need is a willing government. And guess what he got last week? A willing government. And guess what he's getting ready to do? He's getting ready to implant computers in the brain so that those who can't walk is literally going to change everything and give them eyesight, give them hearing, and allow them to walk again. How crazy is that? When we say transhumanism, part man, part something else. Here's another thing that's really intriguing, guys, and I'm just taking you down this little rabbit hole of mine because I got to let it out, and so you're it. And so when we read in the end times where it says like the days of Noah, that's angels having sex with humans. And you're like that's not going to happen today. If you go back and read Genesis chapter 3, where it says that the seed of Satan is going to crush the heel of the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the seed of Satan. And if you look up that word seed in the Hebrew, it means offspring. If you go into Abraham and it talks about Abraham having offspring, it is the exact same word as seed in Genesis, this offspring. It literally means to have a child. What if Satan, and I, guys, don't think I'm nuts, I'm just telling you, it's lining up with scripture big time. What if Satan is either has now, and the Antichrist is alive and walking on earth, which I believe he is, because I believe we're that close to the end. What if Satan had sex with a woman and had his own offspring, the Antichrist? It would fit scripture way better than Satan picking a man and then possessing him. No. If he's the Antichrist, he has to resemble that of God and Christ. And so God had a son. Satan's going to have a son, just like in the days of Noah. All right, how many think I'm crazy? I got one. He's like, not because of what you say, just because I think you're crazy. Guys, are you lining this up with me? Yes. And so, guys, I think that the days of Noah are transhumanism. It's transhumanism. And I think it's Satan having had sex or with a relationship. I'll change that word for the younger one. Sorry. I get a little excited, forget. Having relations with a woman and creating his offspring, his seed, Genesis chapter 3, for today. Just like the days of Noah. Because nowhere in scripture do we see that angel, that God stopped the ability for angels to have relations with women and have offspring. Nowhere do we see where God stopped that. We just see it stopped. Probably because the Bible doesn't talk about it anymore. But it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. And it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen now, the days of Noah. That would make sense to me, looking at what we see lined up today. Amen? And so, guys, I'm just saying, when we look at this and we look at the flood, if you don't understand why the flood came and why God had to wipe out all the earth, and God had to wipe out all the earth because of the fallen angels and women having offspring, and it was literally, it was polluting, if you will, or destroying humanity as humans. And what do we have today? We have science trying to do the exact same thing right now. And you go, Pastor, that's a conspiracy theory. It would be if it wasn't true. But it's true. Do your research, and you will find this is happening. Noel Harari. His last name's Harari. I can't remember his first name now. It's escaped me. He did an interview about 2-3 years ago. And in the interview, he said, we will control the minds of people through electronics and they'll never even know it. The days of Noah. So I think that with all this modern, oh, I got another one for you. How many like Apple? Oh boy, I need to get in my notes. How many like Apple products? Not, you know, like the phones and the ear pods. How many have a set of those earbuds or the pods or whatever that go in your ear? Some of you are like, I am not getting involved in this. Just a serious question. Like, how many own a pair that go in your ears from Apple? A lot, right? Yeah, now you're feeling guilty for raising your hand. Oh, since he's pushing me. I'm going to help you. Apple just applied for a patent on the earbuds that go in the ears. That they have designed them. And by the way, they did this 5 years ago. 5 years ago, they came out, they designed it, and it works perfect. Where you put those in your ears, and it reads your brain waves and sends messages back to Apple, and they can read your brain now through those. How many think I'm crazy? Yes! All you got to do is Google it. Google, Chris, don't leave, man. Really, it's okay. Yeah, I'm not crazy, man. Some of you think I've lost my mind, but before you think I've lost my mind, Google it. This is not a secret. This is out there. And so now they've designed a set of pods. How many are going to go buy a set now? They have just, Lord, tell them I'm not crazy. They have designed the set now to operate. You know how they go in and do brain scan and they can get your brain waves when you go in a hospital. And they've been able to master that with the ear pods or buds. What are they called? Ear pods, buds, pods, AirPods, AirBuds, whatever. They've been able to master that with these now. Guys, we are exceeding the human norm, which takes us back to the days of Noah. It's all making sense now. Why Jesus said it'll be as Sodom and Gomorrah. That's an easy one to see and figure out. It's in our face. But the days of Noah, that's what he's talking about, what we're seeing today. And it all makes sense. Now you understand. See, they didn't have AirPods back then. They just had fallen angels and creating evil in men. Now evil is just creating their own AI. You know, they say AI is going to control man too. Days of Noah. And what's crazy is you have no problem believing AI is going to do what it's going to do, but you struggle with Apple making pods to read your brain. And I'm telling you, they did it 5 years ago, and they just applied for a patent last week or 2 weeks ago. Google it. It'll blow your mind. I know how many are like, Pastor, I don't want to know this. Right? It's like, I know. Listen, I already know my daughter's like, I don't like my dad right now because he knows I don't like this. But this is what's going on. And so when I'm like, and you guys think I'm a freak because I'm like, oh, don't do that or watch this or watch that. And you're like, oh, pastor's out there. And then you find out the truth and you realize, wow, pastor's not as crazy as I thought he was. I'm telling you, all you got to do is research it and it will blow your mind. John, did you research it yet? I thought you would. Did you find it? Wait a minute, John, stand up. No, John, stand up. Stand up. I know you were, no, stand up straight, dude. We want to, yeah. Because I've been watching you. See, I watch everyone. I just let you get away with what you get away with because you're not bothering the person next to you. John, you just Googled it. What did you find? Last, so it was last June they applied for the patent. Oh, it came out. I didn't think it was out until this year, this June. So last June it came. So it's already on the market. Oh, okay. Yeah, last June. So you were able to find it real easy. All right. I accept your apology. So listen, guys, my whole point in this flood, because this is the, like how many understood the flood, that it involved everything I just talked about? How many actually knew that or understood it? Wow, good for you guys. This is why the flood, why God's like, I got to end it. I got to end it, because that literally this, they're taking over. The evil's taking over. And why do you think God's going to end it now? Because evil's taking over. And that's why the flood is so important to understand the flood. And that's why Peter said, hey, you ignore creation and you ignore the flood. But guys, the flood tells us so much. And the flood helps us line up with today. And so when it goes back to the days of Noah, in my mind, that's how it all connects. Which is insane, amen? But we see it in our face, amen? And so we see here, next verse, please, or next set. It says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And here, this is the verse. This is the verse that was like, for me, I'm like, man, what do I do with this, right? Because non-believers will use this verse to go, if God knew everything, then why did he repent? Or why was he sorry that he made man? Like, it was a surprise. And guys, I'm going to tell you, when you research the Hebrew words, I was talking this morning, and I was saying how I'm learning how to study the Hebrew language, because it's so vital in understanding. And by the way, when you start studying the language, it really helps you to understand the scriptures and connect the dots the way they're supposed to be connected. And otherwise, we just use the English language, which compared to the Hebrew language is limited. For example, the English language is like, it's just the English language, right? It's like, it's just words with definitions. The Hebrew language, everything interconnects. The letters create numbers. If you add up the letters, then you'll get numbers, and the numbers, it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like four levels deep, the Hebrew language is. It is mind-boggling when you start reading it and learning it and understanding it. I mean, literally mind-boggling. But for us, it's just a word with a definition. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. What I want you to see is the word Nahum. Nahum is the Hebrew word. If you'll bring up the PowerPoint, next PowerPoint, please. So Nahum was the, just keep going. Wow, I didn't realize I put all that in. I didn't think I did. See what happens when I think? All right, Nahum. See, that is actually the Hebrew word. And it's a verb, and it means to regret, to feel remorse, to relent. That, now, this is key, guys. To relent, it means comfort and console, and referring either to a strong feeling that motivates a change of action, intent, or attitude, or to the attempt to change feelings through comfort or consolation. So guys, when we look at this word, Nahum, which is the Hebrew word, it doesn't mean that God regretted, like, oh my goodness, I made a mistake, how could I have done that? No, that's not what it means. It literally is referring to a strong feeling that motivates a change of action, intent, or attitude. And so what happened was, because of man's sinfulness, it created God to go, All right, change of plans. It's not because God didn't know. It's because God's original plan, first off, was not that we would be here. God's original plan was that we'd be in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, though, had a different idea. And they sinned. And when they sinned, they fell. And when they fell, God cast them out of the garden. And now, and what, do you think that shocked God? No, it didn't shock God. He already had plan A in place. There was never a plan B. Plan A was Jesus. And it's always been Jesus. And I can only imagine the discussions that they had prior to when they made man and they made the earth. And I can imagine the Father and the Son sitting there and the Holy Spirit just, And the Father and Son going, okay, when we do this, this is going to be the requirement of you, Jesus. You know that. Yeah, I know. All right. We'll still go through it. And then creates man. Jesus didn't go, what? What? I gotta do what? No, I'm out. No, he didn't do that. He knew and he understood. And if you notice, we have other passages here. Oh, by the way, next slide. It says, this word generally seems to indicate that attitudes or circumstances have influenced one to change from a previously decided course of action. We even see that today, right? Like, listen, my children growing up, I'm like, hey, if you do this, this is what you get. And they're like, okay. So we're set. And then they decide to change agreements. And so then I got to change course of action. Am I shocked they change agreements? Not really. They're my children. I did the same thing. It's a human nature, right? And so then I change what I was going to do. I'm not stunned by it. I just simply, okay, that's what God did. God's like, okay, when they exercise free will, then I'll do what I need to do to keep them on track. Was he shocked? Nope. Was he surprised? No. Was he sorry? Yes. In this sense, Nahum. God adjusted his actions according to human actions. And we even see, if we look, we see in Exodus 13, 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. I already know what they're going to do. Let's just take them this way because I know people. I made them. And so we're going to take them this way because if we don't take them this way, they're going to see something that's going to scare the bejeebies out of them and they're going to want to turn and run. So let's just help them along. Was God surprised? No. Was he shocked? No. Was he left not knowing and making adjustment or responding to humanity's decisions? He was responding, but not out of shock and awe and not out of lack of knowledge. He was responding because that was the next thing to do to keep them moving in the direction that they had to move. But free will allowed them their decisions. Free will allows you and I our decisions. And so God's wasn't repentant, like, oh my goodness, what have I done? God was on Nahum. He is making an adjustment in the direction. Remember, he was going to destroy all of Israel, and Moses was like, don't do it, don't do it. Remember, 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 like God forgot. God didn't forget. And because of Moses' plea, and because God loved Moses, he said, all right, Moses, I'll honor your request. Not because God was shocked and not because God didn't know and not because God's like, all right, I'm going to honor you, Moses. And he relented. We see it throughout the scriptures. He relented from destroying Israel. Nahum, he changed his course because of the actions of another. How about we have Jacob wrestled with Jesus. And Jesus is like, okay, you need to stop. And Jacob says, I will not stop until you bless me. And so Jesus touches his hip, takes it out of socket. Jacob walks with a limp the rest of his life, but then God blessed him. Why? Because of Jacob's actions, and God honored that. And so what we got to remember, guys, when we see relent, or when it says God regretted making man, it's not regretted as in he had no knowledge. It's God, God was like, because of your actions, we're gonna adjust to you and make it still move you in the direction I need you to move. That's all it was. And so nothing of this is a shock to God. It's just a change in direction that he chooses to go because of man's action. We're told to pray. And if you don't pray, don't expect nothing good to come to you. Read in the book of James. James chapter 1. If you're an unstable man, unstable woman, you're like the waves of the sea. And if you ask for something, don't expect God to answer that. Why? Because you have doubt. You don't believe. But if you pray believing, then God will answer it. See, your actions will dictate how God responds to you. That's how it works. But are we any different? As humans with our children, are we any different? No, we're not. If our children are good, we respond. If our children are bad, we respond. And then if our children make an adjustment, then we'll make an adjustment with them. Amen? Have you ever done that? Listen, I grounded my child once, and she wanted ungrounded. And I said, okay, if you want ungrounded, this is the requirement to get ungrounded. She met the requirement. Guess what I did? I ungrounded her. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not that I didn't have knowledge or I didn't have understanding. It's just that my daughter's actions moved my actions. And that's what God's saying when he says sorry or relented. So don't think God was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. Jesus, what are you going to do? Jesus, help me out. Or if you're Jesse Duplantis, God calls Jesse and asks him for advice. And so maybe God was like, Jesse, what do you want me to do now, man? I don't know. And Jesse tells him, and God's like, that's a good idea. Okay, I'll do that. You guys think I'm kidding? Look, Google it. He says that God calls him and asks him for advice. All right, here we go. Sorry. I got a little excited on that one. So anyway, let's move. All right, in the New Testament, go to the next slide, please. There you go. For sake of time, I gotta skin this cat pretty quick. I may have never heard that before. So I was like, my wife would give me her thoughts on a situation, and I'm like, who's skinning this cat? And my girls were little, and then one day my wife decided to give her input, and my daughter went, Mom, who's skinning this cat? At any rate, and you know, nobody likes skinning a cat. Children, do not do that at home. All right, here we go. Yeah, not at home, go somewhere else. All right, here we go. So we have metanao, and metanao literally is the New Testament word, or the Greek word, like naum of repent, if you will, and it's to repent or change one's mind. So we see, guys, when you read it, and the only reason I'm pointing this out is because some people got tripped up on that verse. God's not shocked by what man does, and then he regretted for their sin, and so he brings on the flood. God simply changed his mind in the direction that he was going to go because of man's behavior or action. He wasn't shocked by it. He just moved on. And so I just wanted to point this out, guys. All right. Okay. So go back to Genesis chapter 6. if you will. And I think we are in verse 6. Yep. Go to verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, it goes on to genealogy, right? And so we would jump down to, and guys, you might want to hold off on a verse until I give it to you, because if not, you'll just be crazy trying to follow me. And so we see that God's like, okay, you're going to take all this stuff on the ark, and that is 9 down through 22. Noah did according to all that God commanded. And then chapter 7, the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, and you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. And so, guys, I want you to see that God's like, okay, I'm going to destroy the entire world. But Noah, because you're righteous, you and your family, I'm going to spare you. And I want you to understand that it was because of Noah being righteous and how he raised his family that they were righteous and God found favor with them. And so what I want to tell you is, if parents, listen to me. If you're raising children, you raise them according to the word of God, not according to the world. And you make the adjustment. Even when it's hard, you make the adjustment. And God will find favor with you. And God will find favor with your household. But if you decide to make the adjustment and live like the world, a flood is coming your way. And we see it right here where where God told Noah, 7:1, the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. And so what we have is we have the ark is being loaded up, and we see as it goes on, he tells them what's coming on, which, by the way, God loaded the ark, not Noah. And then verse 4 of chapter 7, he says, for after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days, 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And then we ask, well, why all living things? Well, if you remember back in the New Testament, when Jesus told the demons to get out of the man, and they were like, hey, let us go into the pigs, let us go into the swine. And Jesus said, okay, go ahead. If God would have just destroyed humans, evil would have still existed, because the spirits would have left the man and went to the animals. And so God said, kill everything. Wipe it all out, except for that which is righteous. And so now you're understanding why the flood had to destroy every living creature. Because God said, I got to get rid of the evil. See, guys, God is really serious about evil. He's really serious about sin. And he will not tolerate it. He will for a window of time. But when God's done with that extension of grace, then he closes that window and there's no longer grace. God's judgment is coming. And as we read, God was not going to destroy the world by water again. He's going to destroy the world by fire. See, judgment is still coming. God is still going to pour his judgment out onto the world. It's coming. And so what are we going to do? Like, that's a real question. So verse 5, it says, Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old, and it goes on, and he loads the ark with all the animals in chapter 7, and then it starts raining in chapter 7, chapter 8. We see the dry land and all that. And so there you go. I just covered 3 chapters. Yeah. And one of the interesting things that I was really curious about, and this is just like a side note, when God loaded all the animals onto the ark, can you imagine what the people were thinking? They had to be going, what in the world? Right? Because God loaded the ark. And then my first thought was, what stopped the people from attacking and getting on the ark? Or when the water started coming, that they held on to the ark and rode to safety? What would have stopped that? Anybody else think that? Am I the only one? I really am, have a different mind. And so So, because I'm thinking, like, as the water's rising, they just swim up to the ark. They grab hold of it. What's to stop them? And I thought, okay, God was like, boy, get back. Right? At first I thought that. Then I was reading the book of Jasher, which, by the way, I'm not saying is scripture. I just find it very intriguing. But in the book of Jasher, it says that there was a great war between the beast of the field and men. God surrounded the ark with all the wild animals that weren't going and caused a great battle between man and beast, that it says that there was much bloodshed. And so God used animals to protect the ark while the flood was coming. I thought, that's interesting. Very doable, right? And it would make sense. It would be a thing that God would do more so than flick them away like a flea. Right? It'd make a great movie. And I thought, wow, that is so interesting. And that is so cool. And by the way, that's, I don't know if that's what really happened, but it sure enough filled in a blank space in my brain of thinking. Amen. But guys, I want you to know, the flood came. And that's why it came. Because God had to destroy all evil on the earth. All of it. And he started over for our sake. And you really got to ask yourself, because judgment's coming again. Only this time by fire. And the Bible says that in the end, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff. And guys, we see all of it lining up. All of it lining up. We could have another 50 years. We could have another 100 years on this earth. I don't know. No man knows the time or the day. But what I'm telling you is events in the world aren't pointing to that. And so you have to ask yourself, are you going to get right with God? Or are you going to make really poor decisions and the flood is going to take you out? You have to ask yourself that question. Do you really want to be judged by God without Jesus? Real question. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Father, we thank you for this day. Father, thank you for the scriptures. Lord, thank you for all the word that you give us, for clarity, for understanding, Father, to draw us closer to you, Father, to encourage us to make decisions to walk beside you, Father. Lord, thank you for giving me a curious mind, Lord, to look for questions and answers and answers to my questions and Lord, all that's going on. Father, thank you for helping me see in your word, Father, and to see current events and be able to bring these together. And Lord, right now, I just pray for everyone sitting in these seats. Father, I pray that they seek your face. Lord, if they do not know Jesus, that they seek the face of Jesus and surrender and make him their Lord and Savior. And Father, for those of us who do know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that drives us, Father, to seek your face. And so, Father, I pray your hand upon each and every one of us today, Lord, that our curiosity would be piqued, and then our desire to search your word out, Father, will happen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to understand that judgment is coming, and it's coming by way of fire. And God's going to pour his wrath out. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to inform you so that you understand. And so if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to change that. But you can't change it with your head. It's got to be in your heart. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And so the question is, are you ready to give your life to Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sin? Do you believe that he is the Savior of the world? He conquered death and hell. He's at the right hand of the Father. I didn't ask if you understood it all. I ask if you believe it. And if you believe it, then you desire with all your heart to surrender your life and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, then I want you to just pray a prayer with me. Now listen, the words aren't magical. The words you could say 1,000 times, they will not save you. The words are simply a roadmap that shows you, that tells you, and then it's a timestamp where you can say, this day, I, with all of my heart, chose to put all of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's what the prayer does. And so if that is your heart's desire, then you pray this prayer quietly and to yourself. But listen, if it's not your heart's desire, please do not pretend, because God said he looks at the heart and he knows if you're serious with him or not. And you know if you're serious with him. And so if it's your desire with all of your heart to give your life to Jesus Christ, then quietly pray this prayer. Jesus, today, with all of my heart, I put my faith in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you conquered death and hell. I believe without you, there is no way to heaven. I believe you are the only Savior of the world. And today, I ask you to forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. Today, I repent. I'm no longer going to walk in my way. I'm going to walk in your way. I am going to die to myself. I am not going to listen to what the world says. I am going to follow what your word says. Today, I surrender all to you, Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you just prayed that prayer and you meant it with all of your heart, that you gave your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you did.